You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It's all cold down along the beach. The wind's whipping down the boardwalk. Hey, man! You guys know what time of year it is? What time, huh? You guys all been good and practicing real hard. Yeah. Clients, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So stand and bring your new saxophone, right? Everybody out there been good or what? Oh, that's not many of you guys in trouble out here. Yeah, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you why.
Christmas coming up, and we're going to do something. I don't know that I'm sure I've done it before, but we do a man on the street interview. Joining me, a friend of mine from Sacramento, lives in the San Francisco Bay Area, Al Maceo. Mace, what's going on? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mac. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Let's tell everybody a little bit about you. So what year were you born?
I was born in 1960, Sacramento, California. Lived there until 1990, and then I left to the Bay Area and bounced back and forth over the next 10 years between the Bay Area and Orange County.
Beautiful Orange County. And now, have you always been in the real estate business? How did that happen?
No, so that's really a baseball story, as odd as that sounds.
Yeah, it does sound odd.
It is. So I was doing some private training in Marin County, and this guy who had a lot of money, owned a lot of property, liked the way I worked with his son on hitting, of all things.
Nice.
So he wanted to do private lessons. And I said, great. He goes, when can you start? I said, when can you pay me? And he pulled out a wad of $100 bills and started laughing. So I said, great, we'll start tomorrow. So I started in this front yard, Tiburon, California, on top of a hill.
Ooh.
And, an acre in Tiburon.
Tiburon is pretty nice. You know who lived in Tiburon in 1968? Rick Monday.
No, who?
Rick Monday. Really?
I didn't know that.
Rick Monday lived in Tiburon. And Rick Monday, I was 10, 11 years old. He had a girlfriend that wore the shortest miniskirt I'd ever seen in my life. And I had him on. Rick Monday's former was a reservist in the Marine Corps, and when he ran and pulled that flag in Dodger Stadium, he was playing for the Cubs. But two guys hopped on the field and were going to burn the American flag in short left field in Dodger Stadium. And Rick Monday, you know, he runs out to his position, to play center field, and he starts to warm up, and he sees these guys running with an American flag. He knows they're not supposed to be on the field, and he looks, and then he says, I was watching them, and I see they're trying to light it on fire. And he says, oh, hell no. And this is back, I mean, Rick Monday was part of when I knew him. He's from California. I want to say he's from Long Beach, but I'm not sure. But his mom was a really nice lady, raised a single-parent family. And he was a good dude. I think he was the first number one overall draft choice in Major League Baseball. When Major League Baseball started to have a draft, he was the number one guy, the first number one guy. But and back then, you had to go in you had to do your 2 years in the Army if you were eligible. So he had gone into the Marine Corps Reserve, like a lot of athletes did, join the reserves, and trying not to go to Vietnam and to play sports. So he said, and when they were in Oakland, it was at the height of the Vietnam War. They moved to Oakland in 68. He's there 68, 69. I think he gets traded in 70 to the Cubs. Anyway, so he's gone to hospitals Oakland Alameda Naval Hospital there was a major receiving point from Vietnam. And, you know, these guys were all shot to shit. And so that, in addition to his service, he looked and said, oh, hell no, not today. And he ran and grabbed that flag. And so I was interviewing him, and I made the comment about, you know, he married this girl. I said, she used to wear the shortest miniskirts, and she had great legs. And he said, yeah, too bad her personality wasn't as nice as her legs were. I said, what? He said, that's a different story for a different show, Mac. So, yeah. But he lived in Tiburon. Drove an Cadillac Eldorado. Rick Monday. Living the life up in Tiburon. Where Mace is given a... So that guy was a big-time real estate dude, and you went to work for him.
And short story long is that, I went up there to do some work for him, and he started saying, hey, what are you doing? What do you want to do? What do you know about boats? The property in Sausalito that he owned had a marina attached to it. What do you know about commercial property? And I don't really know much of anything. I can tell you sailboats, power boats, and kind of bounce around. But his wife was hovering. We're sitting at the kitchen table, and his wife's hovering. And finally, she's had enough. And she just walks up and gets in his face and says, Alan, you just tell him you'll learn what you need to learn to do the job. And so he has this big smile. I looked at him and said, you have any other questions? And he hired me to be the harbor master and the facility manager. So it was like a property management position. They had a sailing school in the marina, made me take sailing lessons, which was, that was great. And then 8 months later, the leasing guy who handled the properties in Sausalito, San Rafael, and Santa Rosa resigned December 10th.
Yeah.
And January 1st, I started doing I was now the leasing marketing guy, and I couldn't really spell real estate, but here I was one. And it took off from there, and it was great. I mean, it was, real estate's really a puzzle. You know, if it's commercial real estate, it's your business is trying to find a place to operate the business. So there's a puzzle. I need this, this, and this. And it's no different than residential.
Right.
You need 2 bedrooms, 3 bedrooms. So it's just kind of that thing. So that's how it started. It started in commercial, and then about 2012, I thought I probably ought to venture out into residential too, and just so you can play it on both sides of this fence. And so I started doing that, and that's how it got going. And it's been fun. It's a good gig.
Now, are you a multimillionaire?
I'm not allowed to talk about that. My agent told you not to bring that stuff up.
So how can you not be a multimillionaire? You're doing real estate in the Bay Area. It's like this. It's like the most expensive place to live in the country, thanks to all the Google losers up there.
I know, but you know, it's no different than anything else. It's like Hollywood and actors. Everybody's an actor.
Yeah.
So here you got every other person's a realtor.
Oh.
I mean, it's that old thing like Louis B. Mayer used to say when he found Robert Redford on the beach in Malibu. He said, I could throw a rock and hit 5 of him.
Robert Redford? Really?
So, yeah, that's how they found him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know that. But so,
he's a natural. He could have found 5 naturals in one day. That's bullshit. That's a showbiz guy just talking shit.
Well, that's, isn't that the same thing with radio people?
No. Well, it depends. Some truth, if you're not a fact-based event, if you're a propaganda event or you're interested in making a lot of money, then you just bloviate. But if you're interested in the truth, you're somewhat hamstrung by that. You know, the truth actually does have limits, and there are tests for it, so... I'm just saying.
That's a good point. But, the beauty about the truth is you don't have to remember it.
Oh.
The bullshit you have to remember.
Listen to you. Getting philosophical now. Getting philosophical.
I know. I have to remember who I told that to. I have to remember what I told you so I can remember to remind you that I told you that.
Exactly. Let's talk about your baseball career. Well, no, we won't talk about your baseball career. You were interested in the Secretary of Defense. You sent me a text last night. You're You're not comfortable with our president.
You know, something's not right when you have three generals who all of a sudden are no longer there. Highly respected, right? This isn't, he opened up a Cracker Jack box and got a general out of the box. He had three highly respected and they're not there. And so it's, you know, do I know the answer? No. Yeah. But do I know that that doesn't pass the smell test? Yeah. So that's, I just think that's problematic. We've, it's probably not an area we should be messing around in.
The, All right. No, I, you know, my sentiment as well, although I know those guys and, I would tell you yesterday was to me very disturbing as a citizen of the United States. The events that have happened in the last week have been extremely disturbing I don't even really know what to say about the president other than he bears, scrutiny and he should be scrutinized because the stuff he's doing moves too quick. It moves at the angles are too sharp. It's not the way you really, really do business. I mean, the shutdown that's supposedly going to happen today, the Senate was getting ready to leave town after he told them, look, I don't, you know, and then he got, I don't really need that, you know, I'm not going to shut the government down over it. And he got blistered on talk radio and does an about face, and now we're going to shut down the government. Like, what happened? Is that the way we do business
right now?
Right? You make a decision, you get blistered in the media, and then you turn around and you flip on it? Come on. So it's just, stuff like that is, I don't know. I hate to quote Nancy Pelosi, but unsettling I thought was an appropriate term.
Well, that's regardless of who that comes from, you know, winging it is a difficult situation, right? I mean, winging it as the commander-in-chief is probably not your best strategy.
You know what? You could get into the world of political consulting with stuff like that.
Yeah. I'll just stick where I'm at.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Tell me, you're a fan of, you don't mind listening to the chef. Have you tried any of his recipes?
I love the show. You know, not too much, but what I would like to do though is when you asked this question, what's this thing, roast beef and, prime rib?
Yeah.
I was curious. I wanted to ask, what was the difference? What about tri-tip? Where does that fall in the mix? So there's, you know, I'd love to listen to, like, the horseradish. I'm going to send Mac a text. Ask him about horseradish. Ask him. And then you brought it up, and I thought, Jesus.
Nice. Well done.
I thought most of it.
Well done.
Yeah, I cleared out my nostrils and everything.
You know, yeah, and it is really good, too. I forgot he, you know, when he mentioned the mayonnaise and a little bit of lemon that he puts in there, too, I was like, wow, I didn't know that was in there.
I didn't either.
Yeah. No, but it's absolutely delicious. My son will make his own version of sour cream and horseradish sauce, and he doesn't put lemon or anything else in it. Although, if I tell him, he probably will, because he really likes that concoction with steak. And it's very, very delicious with any kind of steak. So I would.
So what kind of bite does it have, though? Does, like, you know, you talked about, you know, there's too much of the horseradish in there, not enough stuff, other stuff. You know, it could clear you out in a hurry.
No.
So how amped up on the meter is it?
No, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, you're sitting there with prime rib, and you got German people saying, oh, you should have some horseradish, ha, 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 ha. And then you take a bite of that stuff, right, and you're just like, and your sinuses get cleared out, and they're laughing. Let's go to Oktoberfest now. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
I've done that once in my life. So horseradish sauce, much tamer. And so it blends really easily, but it still gives you that horseradishy look or that taste. but not as strong as the straight horseradish. So I would highly recommend. If you only have the chance to do horseradish sauce and sour cream, delicious on steak, on any steak.
Nice. I gotta give that a try.
Yeah. No. And it's and then and that one's easy to do. It doesn't take a whole lot of fuss, muss. Squirt a little of this or a little of this, and then you're in the front row. You're there.
What about sushi?
What's that?
What about sushi and the wasabi? How do you do that? I don't know.
I'm not. You know, I'm new to sushi. I've never been a great sushi eater. I eat more of it now than I ever have. My son Patrick's a sushi guy, so. But I'm not like the whole wasabi and all that. Like whatever, man. Just mix it up. I'll eat it. So yeah.
That's like horseradish. That's the same thing as horseradish. You have too much of it, you're gonna get cleared out. If you cut it, you can get that flavor like you talk about Patrick's horseradish with the sour cream.
Yeah. Now that I know. I know enough to dab the first little bit, so I can do a barometer. A kind of a taste check. Okay, now tell me about Christmas. You have any big plans for Christmas? You have any big traditions for Christmas? What are you doing for Christmas?
So we're gonna head up to Sacramento. I live in Petaluma, which is in Sonoma County, which is on the west side of the county.
Okay, hold on. So people are looking at San Francisco Bay. If you go from the center of the bay, kind of where Alcatraz is and Treasure Island are. Where is Petaluma?
So dead north, about 40 miles.
Okay.
It's actually a little to the west, but almost true north.
True north of San Francisco Bay. Okay. All right. So Sacramento is to the northeast about 100 miles, 80 miles, 90 miles?
It's about 72, 73 miles.
Right.
Maybe 80. You're right. So, yeah, so it's a easterly route heading over to Sacramento. We're going to go to a friend of ours' house, a guy that you know, Kirk Murphy.
Kirk Murphy, yep.
He has a Christmas party. He started having them the last couple of years, and so we go up there, and it's, you know, bring an hors d'oeuvre, bring a white elephant gift, and we'll spend the night there. We'll also go and see my daughter, Amy, who lives in Elk Grove, and my two grandkids there.
Okay.
And have Christmas with them then on Saturday. Sunday morning, we'll get up and head to a place in Lake County, which is from Sacramento, northwest.
Okay.
And so it's close to Petaluma. And we have a place up there in the mountain. And we'll spend Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, Christmas Day, come home Christmas afternoon, and then go have dinner.
What do you want for Christmas this year?
I get that question from my kids and from Elise, and I don't really have an answer for that. I almost never have an answer for that. I really don't have anything that I'm going, hey, I gotta have that. I really want that.
Just want like a new glove, a new glove, a new bat, a new something? Come on.
Here's the dumb thing. I own two catcher's gloves. Remember the Joe Morgan infield glove, the little thing that was about the size of your hand?
Yep.
I got one of those. I got more of a regular infielder's glove, kind of a A2000 look. I've got an outfielder's glove, and I bought a first baseman's glove, so I'm pretty good on gloves right now. And I've got three baseball bats that, you know, a 32, a 33, a 34. So depending on how tuned up I am or how yoked I got, will determine which bat I have to swing for the day.
So you don't have any requirement for any kind of baseball gear. What about electronics?
I've got the iPad. I've got two damn iPhones. That's why I have two iPhones. That's a dumb thing.
You got the cordless? No, you need two numbers: one for your business and one for your home. You don't want to mix that. Give your home number out so they can bother you at home. So I get that. What about, do you have any like a Bluetooth headphones? Do you have any of those things you could like throw in? And
those are good. Yeah, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go out and buy the place we have in Lake County burned down 3 years ago in the fire, which used to be kind of unique to say your home got burned in California by a fire. But as you know, that's kind of the norm now, is how you lose a house. So we had it rebuilt and had a hot tub before. And so that's what we're going to go do. But it's not, you know, I'm not jumping out of my socks to go, you know, we'll get the hot tub in. But there's nothing else that really that I say, hey, man, that would be great. Even for my kids, they say, what do you want? And I tell you what I want. I want you to show up on Christmas Day, and I don't want to hear any drama, no bad stories. Just be cool for the day, okay, and say Merry Christmas, and then get out of here.
There you go. There you go. Let's have a let's have a reasonable, fun Christmas. You and I were talking about fires in California. So, and you live up in that region. Talk to us about how does California? What does California have to do to stop this this incredible? Look, the structures will burn. They always have. Right. It's the loss of life thing. And so what's the what's got to happen in California? Do we need to stop building in these remote areas because you can't get there? And once fires start, there's a potential that it could block, you know, ingress and egress to a community. And when you live in those remote areas, what are your thoughts?
So you and I talked about before, it's complex, right? It's not, you take Paradise, it had like one road in, one road out. So even if the fire didn't block the road out, everybody's trying to leave. That creates a traffic pattern. And so that's a problem.
Right.
So you need, the ingress and egress to be, you gotta make that so there's multiple places. Even Santa Rosa, one of my daughters lives in Santa Rosa, and when the Santa Rosa fire hit, they hadn't evac'd her area yet, and we were telling her to get out of there now because when they go to evac, everybody's going to hit the road, and it's going to be traffic, and that's when you're at risk. And even when she left at the time she did leave, which was in the middle of the night, she couldn't believe the traffic just trying to get to a main highway. So you got that issue. Mm-hmm. You know, PG&E is a target for everybody right now because they're the golden egg.
Pacific Gas and Electric, yes?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Pacific Gas and Electric. So that's our gas and electric company up here. And, they've got some work to do in terms of taking care of the trees by the power lines. But, you know, if a private property owner says, hey, I don't want you cutting these trees, they can't cut them.
Right.
So it's not as simple as saying they should have cut them. Right. Sometimes it's overstating the obvious. You can see the trees are pushing down the lines. So there, you've got, that's an issue. You've got planning's an issue. And that was an article I sent you that, there has to be another way that planning has to address areas like that. You know, the one in Santa Rosa, the one in Paradise, you kind of get it. It's remote. Right. And there's not, people want to live out there because they want to be away. But the Santa Rosa fire started like 30 miles away, and there was high wind. And then once a fire starts, it creates its own weather pattern. And so that just, amplifies everything.
Yeah, but again, so to me, what I don't understand, though, is we've lived in California most of our lives, your entire life, me, most of mine, and yet we've never seen this kind of loss of life, and everybody's got a device that you can communicate with them immediately on. And so...
Correct.
So that's what I don't understand. It's like, yeah, but we can get word to people right now. And, in the newer neighborhoods, I get it. And then I guess, it's the fire in Paradise was just one of those things. But I do believe, in fact, I just talked to a fire battalion chief recently. And when I say recently, I mean 3 days ago at a water polo game. And I asked him, and he said, we used to be able to do control burns.
Right.
We don't do any of that anymore. We are no.
Yeah, that's going to change.
We you know, he said, you remember the day when you'd be driving down the interstate or something and you'd see the fire trucks all, you know, around and you'd be doing, they'd be doing a control burn to, you know, keep stuff away from whether it be communities or structures, you know, and, you know, that stuff was scheduled and planned well in advance and whatnot. But, he said, and he works, north of Los Angeles, you know, when you go kind of, you go from north of Los Angeles, you go down into the San Fernando Valley, and then when you leave the San Fernando Valley, you get into kind of the mountains that separate the Southern California from Northern California and the San Joaquin Valley, as it's known. And so in those mountains, I mean, you get fires in those things, and they'll burn forever because you just can't get to places. And then when you don't have fires, you have all this fuel in there. And if you don't, his point is, look, if you don't burn that fuel away, then at some point, it's gonna come get you. So, no bueno. So, but I think your point is pretty valid. It's not one cause, but I think there's things that we used to do to mitigate some of it, and we don't do that as much. And so it might burn, but it couldn't get as close to us as it gets now.
No, there's, again, the controlled burns would be a great, you know, we need to go back to that. The other thing is we need to allow people to, you know, we want to stop the harvesting of the forest because, it's like anything. If you give somebody too much, they take too much. If you control what they take, then you can help manage the forest in a way that, hey, while you're taking that good stuff, take some of that dead stuff out for us too, would be another component of it. It's not, again, that alone isn't going to help controlled burns. I mean, it's not going to solve the whole thing. So, but you put all these components to work, and it will help reduce that risk of a loss of life.
The it's one of those questions that's not an easy question to deal with. My guest Alan Maceo lives north of the San Francisco Bay Area in a city called Petaluma.
Yep.
Petaluma, California. All right. And Alan went to Luther Burbank High School, which was a competitor of my high school. He went to the public school. I went to the private school. So there. I didn't know. I mean, my entire family, you know, we went to Catholic schools. You know, my extended family, we went to Crescent Catholic schools, and when we went to high school, there was one high school, Christian Brothers High School, that I went to, my cousin Tom went to, but we got around town playing baseball, and we crossed paths with Al. All right, sir, any words of wisdom before I let you go?
Nope. Hey, I do love the show. I listen as often as I can. You know, you got to keep it going. Whatever that means, you just have to do that.
did you listen to the Ben Lunick interview?
I did. I didn't get to hear the entire piece, but I heard the part. I was driving to Tahoe, and I heard him talk about before. Like you made the comment, he double dipped when he got the became a peace officer, and they gave him the pass. Going back to where he was doing the training, and then he quit one day, and not quit, but he just stopped because he knew he had to fix his world. So, yeah, I got a chance to hear a big chunk of that. That guy's interesting.
Yeah, you know, he's I think it's hard for us to imagine that if all of a sudden we're doing something one day, Mace, and I said, hey, man, would you go take this and take it to that person, and then that person gets killed, and I'm was the one, you know what I mean? And so there's survivor's guilt, and then there's survivor's guilt. And he sent me an email yesterday, and his buddy, Corporal Van Alstyne, his sister listened to the interview. He said, I got the coolest email from Van's sister. And she listened to the interview, and she said she loved it. And thanks, you know, for not forgetting about my brother. So the byproducts, he goes, man, he said, it's crazy. All these different, and I sent him a number of emails that people have sent me after listening to it. But I mean, that's you know, in addition to dealing with your amputation and your life changing, you know, you have that burden that you can never shake. And it's very specific, and it's something that you did, and you directly caused the death of another person, not just another person, but one of your best friends, and you have to live with that. And but you know, the thing I love about that interview is when he says, you know, he's talking about suicide at one point, and he said, but I could never do that. He said, you know, my brothers gave their lives so that I can live, and my life has to have meaning. Because I have to honor that,
right.
I have to honor that sacrifice. And you hear that stuff, and you're like, you know what? That guy called me, sir. That's the organization that I worked in. Guys like him call me, sir. And it's the most humbling experience when you see those guys in action. You're around them, and it's so cool to see, you know, because he struggled and got back, as anybody would, I think. And it's so cool to see him, his life. You know, doing what he wants to do and serving in his community, which is really what he wanted to do, but a long, tough path for him. But if you haven't heard the interview, his name's Lunick, L-U-N-A-K. You'll see it if you go to the podcast page. It's pretty cool. So, no, pretty cool. All right, Mace.
That's a great story for somebody. Yeah, hey, wait, real quick, what are you doing for Christmas besides messing up the turkey?
Well, I'm not going to mess up the turkey. I'm solid on turkey. First of all, turkey's not very hard. Right, you bomb it in the oven, you set the oven at 325, and you put it, if you have a digital meat thermometer, you can't screw it up. It's unscrewable. Okay? And so, yeah, really, honestly, you can't. It's impossible. So, but I don't know, I won't be cooking the turkey. I have to go buy it today. But, no, three of our four kids will be out here. So that's cool. Haven't done that in a few years, and so there'll be my ex-wife and I, and we'll all get together on Christmas morning and open presents, and then we'll have dinner together. So it'll be a good time. And then probably the last time we're able to do that, because my number two son will move to D.C., and he will probably be married here within the next couple years. And so we'll be scattered across the country a little bit. So kind of our maybe the last time that we have him just to ourselves, and so we'll selfishly celebrate that. So that's what I'm doing. I want a bike for Christmas. That's what I want.
What kind of bike? Road bike? Mountain bike?
No, just like a regular, like a beach cruiser bike.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I mean, so I've taken to going to hit tennis balls after I get off the show. So I'll do all my stuff. I'll get everything posted to the website, and then I'll grab a tennis racket and some tennis balls, and I head over to Orange Coast College, and I go to the handball courts, and I whack it around for about an hour. So
good for you.
Yeah, well, you know, get out in the sun a little bit, fresh air, move around a little bit, take a little aggravation out on a tennis ball, work on your backhand a little bit. Yeah. But, you know, to me, I'm a ball chaser in life. And, you know, there's some people that do endurance stuff and all that. That's never been me, right? Basketball, football, baseball, hockey. I mean, I've always been chasing something. So I get like just the physical fitness stuff. It doesn't really speak to me. But running and chasing a ball, I'm like a dog. It's what gets me excited. So it makes more sense to me. So yeah, I put my cordless Bluetooth headphones in, turn a little music on, or sometimes I'll listen to the news, but not lately, because it sucks so bad. And then I'll go ahead and whack it around a little bit. Yeah, and my backhand's getting better, footwork's getting better.
Bring your racket up to Northern California. Just play a little tennis.
Do you play?
Yeah.
Nah, you're probably good. You're probably good, Mace.
Well, I just started playing the league last year. I've been playing for years. I'm a 3-5, just starting out, and I do all right. So bring it up, and let's take it. Let's see whose backhand's better.
No, you'll smoke me. My backhand sucks. I said better, but I didn't tell you that it sucks to start off with. You can teach me how to play. You can teach me how to hit.
It's real simple. Just keep hitting the ball back over.
I know.
The other guy's bound to make a mistake.
I know, but my backhand is weak. I watched a video the other night at 3 a.m. when I couldn't go to sleep. All right, get it back. Get the racket up. Your offhand on the neck of the racket, and then you gotta like then you go from there. But I don't really know what to do with my wrist when I'm hitting a backhand. You know, when I'm hitting a drop shot, I know, you know, but I don't know. I don't know. So I'm backhand, I'm not, I don't have it in my head how it's supposed to be. I mean, I can hit it, but it doesn't feel right. I'm all about, I'm all about the forehand though.
So you're the guy who runs around the backhand the ball?
Religiously, man. Why is Mac doing all that extra running work on the side? Because he can't hit a backhand. He's got to run around it.
There you go.
All right. We'll do that, man. I'd love to go hit. Out in the sun, talking shit a little bit, hitting the ball. All right, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for hopping on. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mac. Take care.
All right, bud. Alan Maceo makes his debut on All Marine Radio here. There you go. Now he's a character. He could be on the program. That'll do it on a Friday. If you're just joining us, hour one, you're going to listen to an hour of commenting on the departure of the Secretary of Defense and my thoughts on that. And you know what was in my mind as I was thinking about it was this. All right, hold on. Well, I'll stop this. I'll restart that.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
I had Charles Krauthammer in my head when I was thinking about the show today and what is honest and what is blunt relative to the actions of the last week. And I would tell you this, what is honest and what is blunt. The president's behavior is reckless. He endangers American interests abroad. He does it without consulting his national security team, without consulting our allies, and leaves thousands of people to be killed in more violence by pulling a page out of Barack Obama's playbook. And as I speculated yesterday when I said, will anybody resign over this? Within hours, the Secretary of Defense announced his resignation. And the only thing I'll tell you is the president is a reckless actor. And people run behind him and clean up his shit. His about face this week on the president's not going to require the, you know, funding for the border wall and the Senate. And the Senate passed their version of, you know, the bill, the continuing resolution, in consultation with the president. And then he got shit on by conservative talk radio, and he does an about face. Who governs like that? So, I don't often quote Nancy Pelosi, but when a man with the stature of Jim Mattis leaves the service of his government, and you have a president who's not doing anything that, I mean, again, we still haven't seen John Bolton's face. We still haven't seen Mike Pompeo's face. We still haven't seen Joe Dunford. How does Joe Dunford continue now? Supposedly the president named General Milley as the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to stick his finger in General Mattis's eye because he knows he and Dunford are probably together in most issues. So he announces Dunford's replacement to lame duck him. How does what does Dunford say when he's queried about his thoughts on the president's policy decisions in Syria? My feelings are immaterial to the issue. I have a job to do. My job is to execute the orders of the President of the United States, and I intend to do that. Some version of that. So it's been a, in my opinion, it's been a terrible week for the country. You have a reckless president making decisions on his own or in conjunction with who? Who's advising him to do this? You saw how the Senate reacted. Both Democrats and Republicans said the same thing. What are we doing? So, I'm not one bit joking when I say a prayer for your country. I think the hope of most conservatives when he beat Hillary Clinton, which not too many expected him to do, was that if he surrounded himself with the right people, that he could, you know, and he could prosecute his conservative agenda, and that we could suffer his lack of tact as a nation, because things would get righted. The military would get rebuilt. Economic confrontation with China has to happen. Got to do that. Got to push back on Russia. You got to restore NATO. But there's too much outside the bell curve. If you're a conservative, you look at it, and especially this week, and you think, what in God's name? How could we, all that we fought for, all that we've helped other people fight for, we're just going to walk away, not in a negotiated deal, nothing? What, did the president of Turkey scare the shit out of him in that phone call? And he ran away? So, I would tell you that it's incredibly dismaying to watch. And I said earlier that I've never had the feeling that I had yesterday about my country. That the guy at the top is totally incompetent and doesn't get the office, doesn't get the magnitude. It's just a game that he's playing. So, and I pray to God I'm wrong. I don't think I am, though. It's too many data points. So, anyway, you'll hear more of that in hour one here. So, anyway, we'll be back here Monday, and that'll be the last show that we'll do for the week. And well, no, I take that back. On for those of you who work, we'll be here for an hour, and then we'll do best of on for the rest of the week. So we'll do just kind of a running recap, or we'll do the news hour. And I may haul somebody on with me to co-host the news, but we'll do an hour live the rest of the week. Christmas week, and then we'll do best of. And the majority of those best ofs will be battle studies. So if you're at work and you're listening, looking to be entertained, don't be afraid to pop on All Marine Radio, and you'll hear some absolutely positively fantastic stuff. So with that said, Merry Christmas to everybody out there, and happy holidays to everybody else. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, then have a great weekend. On a Friday, All Marine Radio, over and out.